I hope that you'll do that. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, and we're looking at verse number 17. In fact, let's begin in Hebrews 13, verse number 7. Hebrews 13 and verse number 7. We have been going through a series of messages called Family Basics, and tonight the title of the message would be Submission Equals Joy. Submission equals joy. Now, that is oftentimes questioned. Wait a minute, if I put myself under or I listen to someone, am I really going to be happy? Well, this passage reminds us of that truth because authority is an important thing when we consider family, isn't it? Now, this passage isn't directly about parenting, but it is about authority. And it is about the attitude by which you need to view authority in your life. And I want you tonight as parents, and those that might be parents in the future, which could be a lot of our young people that are here tonight, to consider what it is to be under authority spiritually and why and how that affects us in our lives. Look with me at Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Whereof Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight to see this truth regarding authority and that we would see the great joy that can be known in submission. And I pray that we would be patterns of that, each of us as adults, to all the young people that are in here tonight, and that every young person tonight would see in others the pattern of their living out this matter of faith. They're living out this trusting of you, so that they can listen well to the instruction that we might give them to follow in the same path. And we'll thank you for how you'll teach us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids are always watching, aren't they? They're watching what you do and the pattern of things that you do. And they like the things that you like oftentimes. My kids like hiking. And guess what their dad likes doing? I like hiking. My kids like going bike riding. Guess what I like doing? I like bike riding. I like going fishing. Guess what my kids like doing? They like fishing. And you say, well, those are simple things. But do you know that our kids are watching more than just the things that we like to do? They're watching even the way that we walk. I've said this before. Have you ever watched a kid walk and the parent walk by and you're like, that is the spitting image in the way that they walk? It's not just the way they talk, although you can also tell that as sometimes, wow, that sounds like they're from that family. Or, you know, the look is there, but the sound that they have when they speak and the way that they walk, the way that they carry themselves, they've been observing things, haven't they? And they've taken those things in now, and it's affecting their walk and their life. Now, I am so thankful for parents that have been an example to me. I am grateful for my parents. They were over at our house this past Monday helping us with some work around the house, cutting down trees. My dad loves cutting trees and cutting things And we had this huge pile of branches out in front of our drive, and all the neighbors were wondering what's going on. Well, my dad just showed up, and he likes cutting things down. And we needed it done. But I was reminded of spending time with my dad how much I have learned by watching him, how much I grew from observing him. And some of you may be saying, well, I didn't have that privilege, Pastor. I don't have that example in my life. Can I remind you that you do have spiritual leaders to observe and to watch and to follow after? In fact, in verse number 7, it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. You ought to underline that statement in your Bible. Whose faith follow? Now, Paul, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but the writer of Hebrews has a great desire for you to see those in the past who have been examples and to observe their faith. Remember the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is filled with reminder after reminder of those that live by faith. And these Hebrew folks that Paul, I got to get that out of my head. I've been in 2 Corinthians a long time speaking about Paul. The writer of Hebrews, who may well have been Paul, he speaks often of the fact that you need to see the faith that's been observed in someone else and allow that to be your pattern, to follow that pattern. And the heartbeat of this is one that I, as a pastor, readily appreciate. I want my kids, as a dad, to follow the faith of their dad. But I recognize tonight, and I hope that you as a parent will see, if you're going to have your children follow you, you need to be one who is following as well. Every one of us in here need to see the benefit of following in faith. In fact, you could title this not only submission equals joy, which we see in the verse, chapter 13, verse 17, but verse 7 helps us understand where that joy comes from. It comes from a faith that we follow. Faith in others that we see they're following after Christ, I can follow that as well. Because if you're to give submission and to obey rulers spiritually, don't you want to make sure that what they're following after is something worthy of your following after? Something that you can say, I can submit to that. I can. And it's not so much that they have a great personality or that they have great talents. It's that they follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And that their faith is rooted in something that you as well can root your life in. I want my kids, and I want you as a church, to root yourself in something that is of eternal value and that the next generation after you can root that in as well. Now, notice with me a couple of things about this pattern that the writer of Hebrews speaks of. We saw last week the importance of authority and that there are kinds of authorities that are not helpful. There is neglectful authority we looked at. There is permissive authority. There is the oppressive kind of authority, the authoritarian, lording over person. But there is biblical authority. In Ephesians, we saw that authority that is in a father that nurtures and admonishes his children. He doesn't beat them down, but he is going to expect obedience. And obedience and still nurturing and caring and loving are what we are to demonstrate as parents to our children. A love and a truth that mix together to help them in the path that they are to go. Now tonight, notice with me in verse number 17, the importance of submission to authority. In verse number 17 of chapter 13 of Hebrews, verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Now, in our culture today, the idea of submission is kind of, I don't like that word. I don't like being told what to do. I like being free. I like having my own way and my own plan. But can I remind you that spiritually we need to be in submission. And it's in submission that you find joy. Notice what the rest of the verse says. For they watch for your souls. There is a necessity for us to be under authority because there is a great threat. There is a great risk. And every single person in here tonight has a target on them. And there is an enemy that wants to destroy you, that wants to harm you, that wants to get you to not trust what God says, that wants you to not follow in the faith that those that lead you are leading in. And every one of us needs to recognize that we can have authority that produces joy. If you're a parent, do you want your kids to be miserable? You want your kids to be miserable? I don't, okay? But I'm not thinking about misery like in the next 10 minutes or 10 hours. You know, there are things sometimes that, oh, I've got to do my homework. That might be miserable, right? But that's not something misery that I'm concerned about as much as misery down the road, okay? Oh, I've got to pick up my toys or my clothes. Can that be miserable in the moment? Sure, it can feel like that. But is there worse misery down the road if there isn't instruction and guidance in their life? And the writer of Hebrews here says in verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So let me ask you the question tonight and consider this. What can I do as a parent to encourage a joyful outcome and not grief? What can I do as one that's in authority to encourage a joyful outcome and not grief? I think that's an important one for you to consider. As parenting, we don't just look at what's in the moment, but we look down the road. The writer here, and this one who is spiritually in authority, is considering not just what's in this moment, but what's coming down the road. And we will give an account. Pastors will give an account for how we watch for the body, for the flock. That's a responsibility that is important and a very valuable one. But I believe that those of us who are parents as well will give an account. We ought to recognize you're responsible, parents, for how you parent and how you lead. And that it's possible, and this is why I have a smile on my face, it is possible for us to look forward to that being a joyful day in the future, not a grief-filled one. And those of you that have young kids, or those of you that don't even have kids yet, don't look at parenting with this, oh, it's going to be so hard to raise kids in 2021. Or what about 2041? Yeah, say that out loud, 2041. 20 years from now. Oh, it's going to be so hard. Friend, can you have a prospect of parenting and of raising kids in the future where the result of all that is joyful and isn't filled with grief? Well, then what is it going to require for us to aim to that, to see that take place? The writer of Hebrews is desiring for something that's coming in the future. And I think it's very similar to what we saw this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul is concerned about the believers and how they're responding, and he wants them to be prepared for his coming and that they would not be found to be involved in sins when he gets there, and that he won't have to be harsh with it and deal with it in that way. And notice, it's not just about the person in authority here tonight. You might be saying, well, Pastor, this is just a verse for you as a pastor. Well, no, it says that you're to obey and to have submission. But even as parents, I want you to think of this as we consider authority tonight and your authority. It's not just about you giving it, but it's about those that are under you experiencing joy. See what it says at the end of verse 17? That they may do it with joy, those that give account. That's in the case of those that are in leadership, and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. If the one in authority gives account and there has been failings, there has been shortcomings, and there's grief, is that just grief for the one in authority, or is that grief that also extends to the individuals who have not submitted well? Well, it extends to them as well. It's not profitable for you. It's unprofitable, the writer says. And so how is this possible that we can have an outcome where there is joy? Well, I want you to go back again to verse 7 and notice what it says in verse 7 of chapter 13. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. The word follow, there's the idea of mimic or imitate. Follow in the same pattern of. Verse 17 and verse 18 gives us three commands. Three imperatives that I believe we as parents can model. And even if you're not a parent, you can model these three things to the benefit of others who will observe your submission, and by the observation of your submission, be helped themselves in submission. Do you know that when you live under authority, you help others live under authority? Parents, it's an obvious one. When you live under authority, you help your children live under authority. But even if you don't have children, When you live under authority in your life, Christian, you're helping other Christians live under authority. And by under authority, I don't just mean underneath pastors, you know, commands. Although I do think it's important for us to ask for and to look to direction from the one that does oversee, that does have a care for your souls. But it is entirely important that you have a care for submitting to the word of God. Do you see in verse 7 what it is that they're to follow? It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the what? The word of God. The word of God. Whose faith follow. Well, if you're to follow the one who's declaring the word of God to you, and that could be those of you who receive instruction from someone who's discipling you. That could be a Sunday school teacher. That could, yes, be your pastor or evangelist who come to our church. But what is it that those individuals are giving that you're to follow? It's the... Oh, come on, y'all. It's the what? The word of God. It's the word of God. And where is their faith? Where is their dependency? If you're to follow their faith, what does that mean? Well, that means they're Baptist? No, that's not their faith. Where is their faith? What is the object of their faith? Jesus Christ. Their faith is in Him. Their dependency is in Him. And as that is what you observe in them, follow that. Follow that. Follow that. And every one of us in here can be a pattern, an example to others in this matter of following. And there's three things that are given to us in verses 17 through 18 that I believe are admonitions or commands to us that will help us in being this kind of a pattern and will help you to see a joyful outcome. A joyful outcome, not a grief-filled outcome in authority. Notice the first one, obey authority. Number one, obey authority. In verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Now you say, okay, we've already covered obey, haven't we, Pastor? Children are to obey their parents. That's great, Pastor. We already know what obey means. Well, the word here for obey is not the same word as Ephesians 6:1, children obey your parents. It's a different word for obey. And I want you to know that because the obey in Ephesians 6 is that idea of listening and obeying. You know, doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, how you're told to do it with the right. Yeah, good, y'all.
Attitude.
With the right attitude, yes. All the kids got that right tonight. This word obey that is here has the idea of being convinced or believing something. Now, that's important because being persuaded or believing and thereby listening is an important aspect of this obedience. Believe their words. Do you ever recognize that sometimes we're given instruction and we go, sure, I don't know if I trust you. Or, I don't know if I want to do that. Or if that's the best thing for me. What is lacking there? Trust or confidence in what they're saying. What is it that Hebrews is about? You need to have what? Without this, it's impossible to please God. Faith. Now, where is it that their confidence is going to be lacking? Well, if it's lacking in the person because of what they're giving. But what is it that this person has already been giving? Remember, verse 7 says, them which have the rule over you who have spoken what? They've spoken the word of God to you. So is your confidence supposed to be in those that declare the truth of God's word? Absolutely. And trusting and obeying go together. They really do. And this concept of obey here, them that have the rule over you, is the idea of I'm listening out of trust. I am hearing what is being said, and I know that I can believe that. And one of the things that affects that believability is the fact that your faith is observed as the one who is in leadership. In fact, that's what you see back in verse 7, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Something is observed in this. And by the way, parents, this is a good example of things that we can be a help to those under us in authority. Are kids able to believe us better when we practice what we preach? Absolutely. There's no question that when you are consistent in what you are telling them in your own life, it doesn't have any challenge. It consistently works together. It is encouraging them in that path. And you know what is to be a consistent part of our lives if we're going to help others? It's that we are living in submission. When any of the apostles say, listen to what we say, it could be said while they are listening to Christ. And so it wasn't, oh, well, you're telling us to do this, Paul or Peter or John or James, but you're not doing it. No, you're doing it as you followed Christ, and I can follow you because in following you, I'm really following Christ. That's what our children ought to see in our lives on a daily basis. I'm following mom and dad because I can see them following Christ. Not following pastor. Ultimately, it's a chain that shoots back all the way to our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how it is to be viewed and understood. There is a constant battle to throw doubt, though. And if there's going to be doubt, obeying authority is hindered when I don't trust, when I'm not sure. Genesis 3, again, right from the get-go, a lack of confidence in what God says results in what? Sin. When you live in a lack of confidence in what God says, guess what you will do? You will sin. When you make a decision and you say, well, I don't really think it's that big of a deal if, but you don't look to the Word of God, guess what you're going to do? You will sin. You will sin again and again and again. If you say, well, I don't think mom and dad are going to find out, who are you ultimately forgetting is watching right now? You are forgetting the reality that God sees everything. And if you filtered it through the question of what does God think right now, would you do that thing? You see, when you doubt or put to the side the authority that God puts in your life and that God wants to direct you, you get into trouble. You find difficulty. The following of faith in your teachers prepares you for teaching. Can I say that again? The following of faith in your teachers encourages and prepares you for teaching. And every parent in here, we need help to parent, don't we? So guess what will help you in that? Following in faith those that are your teachers. As they follow the Word of God, you follow. Which is why it is so important to be a part of a local church. The consistent feeding of the Word of God is a help to you as a parent so that you can feed your children. That's not a small thing. That is a very, very important thing. And I'm grateful on a Sunday night to see this many people in here. And especially you young guys. And I know I'm going to pick on all the young guys that aren't married. There's a good crop of them in here. And I'm grateful for that. Because you young men, as you establish in your mind what's going to determine your future and how you're going to plan your life, if you will make it a priority to, I want to be under authority from the Word of God so that I can give help to those that follow me, that is a pattern that will be successful in your family. That'll be a huge help to you. You are going to be far ahead of the others around you because you have a source now to give something by. You're not just trying to figure it all out on your own. You have the eternal truth of God's Word to then allow to be flowing into your kids' lives. What happens, though, when you don't grow in faith, when you're not following in faith, when you're not following and submitting yourself to the truth? Look back in Hebrews chapter 5, because I think this is very instructive. Hebrews 5, verse 11. If we're not people who are under and following authority by faith and the faith of our teachers, it's certain we won't be well prepared to teach others. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, a passage that you're probably familiar with, Hebrews 5, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of, what's the next word? Hearing. You are not listening well. And if you won't listen well, you can't be taught well. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know what this is speaking about? Maturity. You're like, Pastor, you use that word a lot. We need it. You need maturing. Every one of us. And especially in the younger age of our life and growing and before we have been in the Word very much, we are immature. Before you have the Word of God absorbing your life and thinking through every decision through what does God think, you need to know that you're in danger, and you need those that are teachers. And I really am grateful for those in our church who are working with others in discipleship right now, because a big part of the encouraging individuals to do things that are right comes when someone comes alongside of another Christian and says, here's what God's Word says about this and about this and about this. And you're getting the milk so that you can be ready for meat, so that you can be prepared for more and be able to help someone else. What happens, though, if you don't listen? That dull of hearing spoken of in verse 11 is the individual who's not listening well, who doesn't take it in. Now, you won't do well in calling on others to trust you, to believe you, parent, to have confidence in what your decisions are, if you're not well-grounded in the truth. I didn't say you have to be a perfect teacher of everything in the Bible or that you have to be a college professor to be able to lead. But you need to be able to discern, as verse number 14 says, both good and evil. Can you, as a parent, help those that are following you see what's right and what's wrong? Have you grown in that? Because they need that direction, don't they? One of the things as a pastor I'm becoming more and more burdened to help our church with is helping just speak about things that you need to see. This is not good. This is not helping you. And this is good. And you need to follow this. And that's what we do as parents, isn't it? You don't do this, do this. And that discerning of good and evil is so important for us. And our confidence in authority comes back to, I know I can trust what they're saying because what they are giving me is the Word of God. Now, obeying those that are in authority is important. And if you want children to trust you, can you be a parent that is observed in your obedience yourself? That's a tough one, isn't it? Are you one as a parent who is constantly maturing and your kids can see that? It's important for us to be continually in a maturing state. Joy down the road is connected to your maturing in your faith today. I say it again. Joy down the road is connected to your maturing in your faith right now. Hebrews 13, the writer of Hebrews says very clearly in verse number 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Instruction must always be teaching a correct value system. And part of this trust that comes is knowing that the outcome of listening to what they say is better than not listening to what they say. How many of you have listened to Dave Ramsey before on the radio? You've heard of Dave Ramsey, financial advice. One of the things I can appreciate is that he challenges people to think about the future, not just today. Because a lot of people in the spending of their money are not thinking down the road or outcomes. What are they thinking of? In the moment. What can I get right now? What do I want right now? How can I make myself happy right now? And things that you think will bring you happiness right now absolutely don't. And so having correct value systems is important. Well, the one who is teaching, who is giving instruction, who is encouraging you to follow them by they're giving you the truth, they're asking you to obey, they're giving something to you, they're challenging you with a value choice. And it's important for us as parents to be the ones who our kids can see, my parents are making value choices that I can follow as well. Those value choices that they are making in obedience, I can too. Are there a lot of value choices you make as a parent underneath authority that your kids can observe? Now think about it for a minute. Are there value choices that your kids can see you as a parent make and observe? Absolutely, parents. Your kids are seeing how you value everything. Time, focus, ministry, serving other people, outreach. I'm always thrilled when I see parents come with their kids on Saturdays for outreach, even if it's once a month that they're able to do that, because I know it's a lot of work. But there is an emphasis on, I want my kids to be involved in this with me. Anything that you put an emphasis upon, parent, in the way of, I want to do this for the work of God, to the glory of God, they see what you put your value on. They see what you emphasize. And that's important for you to recognize as a parent. If they're going to be obedient to you, and by the way, isn't that what we all want as parents? We want our kids to trust us and obey. Well, guess what? We need to be doing as well. We need to be living a pattern of that as well. The second imperative, not only obeying authority and them seeing our believing of a value system, but the second imperative in verse 17 of Hebrews 13 is this. Submit yourselves to authority. Submit yourselves. Now, parents, just to hear those words spoken out of our mouth, I submit myself to, would be good for you and your kids. Because that's unusual to us to say. We don't like to say those words out loud. Because submission, ooh, that means I'm no longer in control. I don't have control. The word submission is the idea to resist no longer, but to give way, to yield. Okay? Another way to see it is to be weak, to be not self-strong anymore. Now, do we want our children to submit to us? Well, let me ask that question again. Parents, do we want our children to submit to us? It'd be kind of okay. I mean, headstrong, it's kind of fun sometimes. I like it when they want to do their own thing, when they don't yield to what I want. No, we want submission. That's the thing that we ought to expect from our children, by the way. But submission is not, they listen to me because I'm the dictator dad. No more than is it the case in the pastor or the spiritual leader. It's not that the spiritual leaders in our life are this oppressive, submission-demanding one, but that the submission, the yielding to, is for my benefit, is for my good. Training and disciplining in the home should be the concept that you have when you think of having the rule over. Training and discipling is the concept you ought to have inside the context of the local church. Inside the local church, the being under the rule of is not the whim of the pastor. Whatever he wants to do, I have to do. That's not the idea. That's not what you'll ever find in New Testament scripture. In fact, you'll find in 1 Peter chapter 5, we're to feed the flock, which God has given us, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. And one of the important statements in that passage, neither as being lords over God's heritage. There ought not be a dictatorial attitude represented in a pastor or in any spiritual leader. Neither should there be in parents, should there? Should parents be known as dictators? Well, we looked at that last week. Obviously not. So what is it that there's a need for submission for? What is it that I need to be in submission in order to help the outcome of my family with joy? What is it that I need and you can be able to pattern by submission? Well, it's an understanding that there is a need for protection. Submission is about protection. And you see it in our passage here in verse number 17. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Look back, though, at verse number 9. Do you notice some threats that are pointed out here? Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing the heart be established with grace. Now, there is a necessity for them to listen to and to remember those that have taught them so they don't get pulled away with wrong thinking. We saw that this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. Remember, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then he says, that you be no more children tossed to and fro and caught in things that are not beneficial to you. There's always a threat to being pulled away from truth. Do you know that, parent, as you train your kids, there's a constant pull trying to get your kids away from truth. And what we want to do is get them to yield back to our direction towards things that are good for them, safe for them, helpful for them. You know, that's what the heart is as well of the pastor for the church. And when you live in submission to, you know what? I ought to ask what another Christian thinks about this. You know, that's not a bad thing. How many of you recognize the benefit of asking, hey, what does my pastor think about this decision? Now, not that I'm the one making the decision for you, but do you need spiritual guidance in your life? Sure. I benefited by that as a kid, asking my parents questions. And guess where I observed my parents acting like that? I saw that with my parents towards my pastor. I did. And guess what that encouraged me to do? If my parents can look to others for advice that they respect, or other Christians that they looked up to and respected, what kind of encouragement is that to pattern for my kids when I do the same thing? You know, if you do not look to anyone else for every decision that you make, guess what your kids will do? They will do the very same thing. They will not ask for direction. They will not seek counsel. And you know what? When you set the pattern as one who desires to submit to biblical truth and counsel, you're helping others that are following you do the same thing. That's an important aspect of this life that we're to pass on, that we're to pattern in submission. Submitting ourselves to authority is not just good because it keeps us out of trouble and protects us from dangers. It is an example to those that follow us to do the same thing. I want my kids to follow in the pattern of submission that they see in their mom and dad. Now, submission is something we have to work at, isn't it? You have to make decisions, parent and individuals, to say, I need to be under spiritual authority. I need that. In fact, one of the things I find that people are kind of hesitant towards church membership is this terrible word called accountability. Well, I don't want someone to have to be like watching what I do or caring about me. That just sounds horrible. I mean, is pastor going to call me? No, it ought to be I need that. I need it. And by the way, why do you need it? Whose idea is it that you be under spiritual authority? Whose idea is that? It's God's idea. It was not, hey, you know what? This is a great way to build a church and have people come and listen to me and what I think. Sadly, people abuse that authority. Sadly, it is abused. But it is an important part of your spiritual growth to have those that you are under in spiritual authority that protect you, that encourage you, that keep feeding you, and that are also an example to you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, it says, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. That word in samples is an example or a pattern. Same idea here of what we're speaking of tonight, that faith that you can follow after, a pattern that you see and that you can continue in. And it's for the protection of your souls. It's for that guarding, that you be not carried about, as Hebrews 13, verse 9 says. Now, a third command, and I think an important one for us to consider, is not only that we obey, not only that we submit, but look at verse number 18. And some people's Bibles kind of split these off, but there are three commands right in a row. And it's important to recognize the importance of this connected to the authority that is in your life. Verse 18 says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Pray for us. The one under authority can certainly pray for the one above them. Why is that of value when you live praying for those that are in authority above you? Well, it's an act of humility on the part of the writer, by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, to say, to ask, to request that someone pray for them. Have you ever found it to be a little bit humbling to ask someone to pray for you? I mean, it's not like our go-to nature to say, these are the things that I need you to pray for me about. But the Holy Spirit of God gave this to us as a great reminder. It's a command. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. You know, the writer here is encouraging them to pray for him as he's admitting his own progressive sanctification, his own growing, his own continuing. For we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Is that not something he has to continue to maintain? the one who's in authority, the one that's speaking this truth to them, that he has to continue to maintain an honest integrity before God in his growth? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a need for that. The mark of a mature leadership in authority is not the attitude of some high and lofty, I'm over you and I have some amazing relationship to God and you're all way down here. You know what it is? It's the honesty that states, I'm in a pursuit of a clean testimony with God. And I want you to pray for that. God certainly knows the reality or lack of spiritual condition. But what do other people see? And what can they pray for? Can individuals be praying for those that are in leadership? Kids, can you pray for your parents? Yeah. Do you see your parents for what they really are? I mean, on a day in and day out basis, kids, do you see your parents? Yeah, parents, do we know that to be a little bit humbling? Sure, I do. I don't stand up here and say, I've got it, folks, I'm perfect. I know that. That's not the case. Nor will my kids ever have to live up to that standard that I think they're supposed to be perfect because I'm not. But I do want to be constantly working and aiming towards maturing in my life and encouraging them in the same way. You know what? If you will be honest about your growth and the need for that, and even encouraging those around you to pray for that and to see that continuing, you know what that does? It encourages them that they can follow that pattern. You know what you see in Scripture are men that are not super Christians. They say, well, I'm way up here and you all can never attain to this. You know what you see? Humble men honestly saying, I'm pursuing what God wants and follow me as I follow Christ. That's what you can pattern in your home. That's what I desire to pattern in leadership here at New Life Baptist Church. And I pray that the reality of that kind of humility is something that we can pass on, that we recognize we can pray for those. Look over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and you see a very similar heartbeat. And as you know, Paul is one of my favorites in the New Testament writers. And so much of what he says elsewhere resonates with what you read in Hebrews, which is why it's hard for me to disconnect them at times. But 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 4. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. You know what the prayer here is? It's a prayer that is stating, I'm praying that God would give us opportunity to continue to speak as we have spoken to you. I desire for that opportunity to continue and that we'd be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And there is a confidence that comes back as well from the one who's asking for prayer. You know, when you pray for the one in authority, there is a desire for that to keep encouraging you again. Kids, when you pray for your parents, it has an effect back on you. And you know what Paul says? We have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. He is asking the people that he's given direction to pray for him, knowing that if they will pray for him, he can continue to do and proclaim the things that he has helped them with already to others. And I pray for our pattern of things here at New Life Baptist Church to be one that our children and those that are under authority can say, I am praying for, and I know that this is something that's continuing to affect the next group of people who are going to be impacted. There are young men in our church tonight. There are young women in our church tonight who are going to be parents very shortly. I mean, 5 years, 10 years. That's quick. It's a very short time. Think of that, parents. 10 years from now, 15 years from now. Do you know that praying right now and encouraging our kids to pray for our authority is an investment in what's going to come in the future? It's a very important investment. Pray for us. The word working in others as it is with you implies their submission in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. the deliverance from faithless men. You do and will do what the Lord commands you to do. You know, I am excited to see people in obedience to what the Lord says. I am excited about that. All the time I hear Christians saying about where they've grown in their faith. And it's encouraging because they've listened to spiritual authority. And as simply and as humbly as this pastor gives it out, your listening to it and heeding it is an encouragement. In fact, you as a parent, when you listen and heed spiritual encouragement and direction, and your kids observe that, you are helping them have a joyful outcome, not one that's filled with grief. Why? Because it's going to be joyful one day in the future when I give account for what I've done. I'm going to give account for how I encourage you with truth and protect you and guard you. You will too, parent. You will too. And the joy that comes is not just in knowing they listened and obeyed, but in knowing it wasn't the grief that could have been. Is sinful behavior grievous? Is disobedience and lack of submission and even a lack of care in prayer, are those grievous things? They really are. If they're not things that characterize our lives underneath the submission we have, they won't be characterized well and patterned well to those that follow us. So if obedience isn't what characterizes your relationship to spiritual authority, or submission isn't, or prayer for isn't, can you expect it well to be patterned to those that follow you? I know that's a really simple explanation of where I'm trying to head tonight with this, but if you will pattern, I want to listen and I trust that what is being given is true and I'm going to follow that. And I want to submit to that. I want to be under. I want to yield to the word of God as it's given. And I want to support in prayer. I want to pray for those that are leading. Guess what that gives to my kids? It gives them a pattern to follow. And it's a powerful pattern. And it's one that will be filled with joy in the future. I look forward to seeing the pattern of our faithfulness in little things here at New Life Baptist Church compound in the future. You know, faithfulness in finances is not about making millions of dollars today. Faithfulness in finances is just doing little things right every day, every day, every day. No, I'm not going to spend on that. No, I'm not going to spend on that. Yes, I will save in this way. Okay, those are small decisions that compound over time. Much, much more important than a financial aspect is a spiritual aspect where you're consistently being faithful and, you know what, the word of God is being given to me and I'm going to listen to that and I'm going to obey. I'm going to yield to that. I'm going to submit to that. I'm going to pray for those that are in authority. And those are three commands that you can put into practice tonight. They really are. They're not something you got to wait for down the road. You can tonight say, you know what, as I hear spiritual truth, as I hear the preaching of God's word, I'm going to put myself under that authority. I'm going to allow that to impact me. If you're one who's being discipled right now at New Life Baptist Church and someone's working with you in discipleship, put yourself under the authority of the Word of God in that one who is training you in the Word of God. That's a benefit to you. That is a great help to you. Kids, put yourself underneath the authority of your parents. Is it sometimes hard to do that? Kids, is it hard sometimes to put yourself under the authority of your parents? To trust them? Okay, I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid, there were times it was hard. There's not one kid in here, and if you were a kid once, you all were. If you're honest, were there ever times it was hard to put yourself under the authority of your parents? Well, I wasn't a terrible rebel. I didn't ask that. I meant, did you ever struggle? Y'all are smiling, so I'm guessing it was the case. At some level. But can you make a choice even when it's not easy? Absolutely. And if you'll make a choice as we go into this next month, you know what? I desire, when the Word of God is preached, to put myself under the authority of what God's Word says. And to the extent that I see a spiritual leader following after what God wants, I want to follow after that. I want to humbly follow after that. And that isn't that I want everybody to be little Franks, okay? Little Pastor Finneys. That's not what I'm saying. But my kids and you, when you see the pattern of following after what God's Word says in any spiritual leader, that's what you want to follow after. Does that make sense? Now, does that require a choice? It absolutely does. It makes a choice to say, I'm going to obey. I'm going to have that willingness to trust, and therefore, being convinced, obey. And you know, the Holy Spirit of God is the one that convinces us. That's true. That's real. We need to follow that. I'm not here tonight to tell you to be convinced by me, because I can tell you this was not the most eloquent speech ever given from the Word of God. But I am telling you, if the Holy Spirit of God convicts your heart about some area you need to be following in, do it. If the Holy Spirit of God convinces you that's a pattern that you need to follow after, go after it. Don't hesitate. Don't say, well, I don't know if I can do that, or I don't know if I want to do that, or I don't. Being a church member, I don't know if I want to be a church member. I'll have to be under authority. If the Holy Spirit of God convinces you you need to be under authority, get under authority. It's that simple. I know, pastor, hit the pulpit. Y'all are awake. You know, if the Word of God makes it clear, I'm not living in submission. I'm not yielding to that authority. There's something I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not yielding to that. I'm stiff-arming it. Well, make a choice tonight. That's not how I'm going to be acting. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to repent. That's changing my mind. And I'm going to do what it is that I am supposed to yield to. If you're not praying for those in spiritual authority, it's going to be a challenge for you to submit more. You know that praying for leaders enables you to have the right attitude towards them, which is not a surprise that we're told to pray for who? We're to pray for who? Yeah, the president, the king, and all that are in authority. Why? Do we have a responsibility on another kind of level to submit? We do. I know, that's fighting words, pastor. You're telling me I have to submit to the government? Well, there is a certain degree to which you are. And in that degree that which you are, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? Unless you remember who it is that's told you, you're to pray for them that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. That's the goal in your praying. You know what, kids? You ought to pray for your parents that you would be able to do what pleases God as you submit to them. That would be a great thing to pray. God, help me to do what pleases you as I submit to them. That would be an excellent thing for every one of us to pray as we pattern that to others. Now, I don't have a clue what the Holy Spirit of God is going to point out to you tonight from this message. That's not my job. I really am thankful for that. I don't know why this wasn't really what I wanted to preach tonight. It wasn't, oh, this is great. But it's something I'm convinced we need to hear. And I am convinced there's areas in our life that the Holy Spirit of God may point out and say, that's the problem, that's the area. You need to be patterning this. You may well not be seeing that it's an area you need to work on. This passage in Hebrews chapter 13 is one that is there for a reason. And so I want you to just take a moment tonight and consider what is it the Holy Spirit of God has pointed out to you.